Tony Kites finds a wife. I shall never forget Tony's face. It was a little round face with bright black eyes. He never smiled very much, but he was a great favourite with the women. And he liked them. Oh, yes. One week you saw him walking along with one girl. The next week you saw him with another girl. But in the end, he decided that Millie Richards was the girl for him. She was a nice, sweet little thing, and people soon said they were engaged to be married. One Saturday, Tony went to market to do some business for his father, and he drove the wagon home in the afternoon. When he got to the hill just outside the town, he saw Unity Sallet by the side of the road. He knew Unity very well. Once he nearly asked her to marry him, but then he got together with Millie. When Tony came up to her in the wagon, Unity said, "My dear Tony, can I ride home with you?" "Of course you can, my love," said Tony. "I couldn't say no to you, could I?" So Unity smiled, jumped up into the wagon, and Tony drove on up the hill.
"Tony," she said in a soft little voice, "why did you leave me for that other girl? How is she better than I am? I'll be a fine wife and a loving one too. And you've known me for a long time, haven't you, Tony?"
"Yes, I have," said Tony. "Yes, that's very true."
"And can you say I'm not pretty, Tony?"
He looked at her for a long while. "I really can't," said he. "No, I think you're the prettiest girl in the world."
"So I'm prettier than she is, am I?"
Luckily, before Tony could answer, he saw a girl's hat over the hedge, round a turning in the road. He knew the hat very well. It was Millie's hat. "Unity," said Tony quickly, "here's Millie coming now. I'll be in terrible trouble if she sees you with me. Now, dearest Unity, we don't want any fighting or anything, do we? So will you lie down in the back of the wagon, under the tarpaulin, just until Millie has passed? And I'll think about what you said, and perhaps I'll put a loving question to you and not Millie. Nothing is decided yet between her and me, you know." So Unity lay down under the tarpaulin in the back of the wagon, and Tony drove on to meet Millie. "My dear Tony," Millie said crossly when he came near, "how late you are."
"Late?" said Tony. "Were you waiting for me?"
"Of course I was," said Millie. "You asked me to meet you, to ride home with you. Don't you remember?"
"Oh dear," said Tony. "Yes, yes, I did. I remember now. Oh dear, I mean, jump in then, Millie dear."
So Millie climbed into the wagon and Tony drove on. They talked about this and that and looked at the trees and the birds. Then they came to a house by the road, and looking out of an upstairs window was Hannah Jolliver. Now, Hannah was a tall, good-looking girl with long red hair, and Tony was in love with her for a long time, before Millie and before Unity.
"My dear old Millie," he said in a whisper, because he didn't want Unity to hear, "there's a young woman looking out of that window who wanted to marry me. I'm afraid she's going to be angry because she's found out that I'm going to marry you. And you're a prettier girl than she is. So, Millie, will you help me?"
"Of course, dearest Tony," said Millie.
"Then will you hide under the empty sacks just here in the front of the wagon, behind the seat? She hasn't seen us yet, and then there won't be any angry words."
Well, all right if it helps you, Tony, said Millie. She didn't really want to, but she got down behind the seat and hid under the sacks. So there was Millie hiding in the front of the wagon and Unity hiding in the back. Tony drove on past the house, which was Hannah's uncle's house, and Hannah looked down from the window and called out to him, "Aren't you going to ask me to ride home with you?"
"Oh, yes, of course," said Tony, who didn't know what to say.
"But aren't you staying at your uncle's?"
"No, I'm not," said Hannah. "Can't you see I've got my hat and coat on? How can you be so stupid, Tony?"
Then you must ride home with me, of course," said Tony, who was beginning to feel hot and uncomfortable. So he stopped the wagon while Hannah ran downstairs and got in beside him. Tony drove on again, and then Hannah looked at him out of the corner of her eye.
"This is nice, isn't it, Tony?" she said. "I like riding with you."
Tony looked back into her eyes. "And I like riding with you," he said after a while. Then he looked into her eyes again, a good, long, slow look. He began to like her more and more. And then he couldn't remember why he ever wanted to marry Millie or Unity. He moved nearer to Hannah on the seat, and they talked in soft little whispers. And after a time, Tony said, "Ah, my sweet Hannah," and took hold of her hand.
"I'm sorry that you're going to marry Millie," Hannah said, "because I do like you very much, Tony dear."
Tony gave a quick look behind him.
"I haven't asked her the question yet," he whispered, "and I'm not sure I will. I'm thinking about asking you."
"Ooh, leave Millie and marry me?" cried Hannah loudly. "Oh, how wonderful!"
At this, there was a sudden little angry scream from behind the seat, and the tarpaulin at the back moved. Hannah looked round.
"Something's there, Tony. There's an animal in the back of the wagon."
"No, no," said Tony. "It's just empty sacks, and it's the wheels that make that little screaming sound." But he knew that he was in trouble, and he didn't know what to do next. Then the wagon came round a corner in the road, and Tony saw his father in a field. His father held up his hand, and Tony saw his escape. "Oh, Hannah," he said, "can you hold the horse for a minute while I go and find out what Father wants?" Hannah agreed, and Tony hurried into the field.
"What are you playing at, Tony?" said old Mr. Kites.
"What do you mean, Father?"
"Well, if you're going to marry Millie Richards, do it. But don't go driving around the country with Jolliver's daughter. People will talk. You mustn't do it, boy."
"Millie's there too, Father."
"Millie? Where?"
"Under the sacks." "Yes, and Unity Sallet is in there too, Father, at the other end, under the tarpaulin. All three of them are in that wagon, and I don't know what to do. Which one shall I marry, Father?"
Which one of them did not ask to ride with you?
"That was Millie, because I asked her."
"Then marry Millie. She's the best. Hey, look." Tony looked round and saw his wagon moving. He began to run across the field as fast as he could. What was happening in the wagon? Millie, under the sacks, was the one who screamed. She began to move about, and then saw another woman's foot. So she moved along under the tarpaulin until she found Unity.
"And what are you doing here?" she asked angrily. I can ask you the same question, said Unity. I'm engaged to be married to him, and I can...
Oh, no, you're not, said Unity.
He's going to have Hannah, not you. He said it just now. We heard him.
When Hannah heard voices under the tarpaulin, she forgot the horse and turned round. The horse decided to go home and moved off much too quickly. The wheels of the wagon went up on the side of the field. The wagon turned over and all three girls fell out into the road. The horse looked round and stood still. Nobody was hurt, but when Tony ran up, the three girls were all shouting and crying and screaming.
Oh, don't be angry, my dears, please don't, said Tony.
They did not stop crying and screaming, so he spoke more loudly.
I must do what's right, he said. I've asked Hannah to marry me, and she's agreed.
Oh, no, I haven't, said Hannah, really angry now.
You must think I'm soft in the head. I'm not marrying a man who keeps girls in the back of his wagon.
Tony looked surprised.
So you won't marry me, Hannah? He said.
Never,
said Hannah, and she walked away. Perhaps she did still want him, but she didn't want to say so in front of the other girls.
Tony didn't know what to say next. Milly was crying her eyes out, and Tony's father thought that she was the best wife for him.
But you never do what your father tells you to, do you? So Tony turned to Unity.
Well, will you marry me, Unity dear? He said.
Marry something that Hannah Jolliver doesn't want?
Not I, said Unity. And she walked away too.
So then it was just Milly and Tony. Milly was still crying, and Tony stood there and looked at her.
Well, here we are, he said at last. Just the two of us. We'll get married then, shall we, Milly?
If you like, Tony. You didn't really mean what you said to them?
Not a word of it, said Tony.
And then he kissed her, put the wagon back on the road, and they drove home. They went to see the parson the very next Sunday and were married 2 Sundays later. At the end of his story, the carrier turns to the postmistress. They had a fine wedding, Mrs. Weedle, didn't they? You were there, weren't you?
Oh, yes, says the postmistress. Best wedding party for years, and I've been to a lot of them. We've had some strange weddings, too. Do you remember Andrew Satchell and Jane Valens a few years ago?
But they got married in a different village, says the church clerk quickly. Not in Longpuddle Church.
The carrier laughs. It's all right, Mr. Flaxton. We know it wasn't you. Go on, Mrs. Weedle. Tell our visitor about Andrew and Jane.
Yes, I remember the Satchell family, says John Lackland's son.
I'd like to hear that story.
And this is the postmistress's story.